Well, before we start, am I allowed to say scrape the barnacles?
Yes.
Am I allowed? What about empty the bilge?
I was going to say flush the bilge, but
swab the deck.
Yes.
Oil the teak.
Wait, hold on. You said swab the. Yeah, that's good.
Gild the lily. I don't even know if that one applies.
Where are we?
What's never mind.
Maybe we should just begin.
All right.
Okay, so I think we've got all our vocabulary accounted for. We are, as we normally do here on Out of the Main, at season's end. We are doing a Clearing the Decks episode, various and sundry items that have been stored up over the course of the season that we're now going to bring out into the open, and then we're going to hit the new year with a clean slate.
Clean slate.
Clean slate.
Clean bill of health, hopefully, too.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You didn't do that last year, by any means. Okay. Well, so we've got a hodgepodge of things, at least I do.
Yeah, me too.
And some of them are things that I were holding for the lightning round. So
same.
And I'll hold some of them still for today's lightning round. But would you like to start or would you like me to start?
Go ahead. This was your well, I guess it was originally my concept, but that goes back 3 years, four years maybe. I don't know.
Yes.
Go ahead,
yes.
You first.
All right. Well, so do you know who Sebastian Bach is?
Ah, Bach.
From Skid Row, not Johann Sebastian Bach. The lead singer of Skid Row.
Oh, I was doing a joke from MASH. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so Sebastian Bach has a new song out and a new album forthcoming in 2024.
Really?
What could this have anything to do with Yacht Rock? Well, listening to an interview, listener Steve turned me on to an interview he was doing to promote this new song coming out. And they get on the topic of like what kind of music you like to listen to when you're not rocking.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not metal, what's it going to be? And Sebastian says, well, you know, metal puts me in this mood that I'm crazy and wild and just like, but that's not really who I am or who I always want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm really listening to these days is yacht rock.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, does he know what yacht rock really is?
Put a pin in that.
Oh.
So, he's like, yeah, I just have such an appreciation for the production, the performances. He said, if you know, I'm not one of those audiophile nerds, but I got a good stereo system and I want to hear the best of the best.
Right.
And he puts on his favorite of the best of the best is Nightfly.
Oh, good. Yes. I was going to expect you to say Asia, but
close though.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah. So he just loves the way Nightfly is produced, mixed, sure, and mastered. And do you know who masters that?
Well, it's been mastered a couple of times, but
the original master.
I don't know.
Robert Ludwig.
Oh, well, of course.
Yes. So he goes on to then talk about how just the entire era was mixed perfectly, recorded perfectly, mastered perfectly. The sort of punchline to this whole thing is that this album comes out in 2024, and who's going to master the new Sebastian Bach record?
Ludwig?
Bob Ludwig.
I thought he'd retired.
He did.
This is the last thing he did?
This is the last thing
he did. No way.
So I thought that was cool.
I thought you were going to tell me the title of the album is Out of the Main or something like that.
No. Oh, okay. But, I mean, the song that's out now is about what you'd expect. It sounds like a deep cut Skid Row album. But it sounds beautiful, man. It sounds awesome if you're into that sort of thing. So anyway, I would say Sebastian Bach has been found at sea.
Mm. Well, I'll tie in with that because I had a little thing written down here. I don't even know where I gathered this from or where at sea I found this. May have even been in the liner notes of one of the albums, because the Steely Dan catalog is getting the re-release with these special box set pressings, yada yada yada, and there's been some additional liner notes added by Fagan for this because he's kind of overseeing the whole process. So that may have been where I got it, come to think of it. But he had said something about the song Josie. Now, when we talked to Don Brightup, he talked about how difficult it was or challenging to get the interview with Fagan because Fagan and Becker were infamous about not wanting to do interviews, or if they did, they just trolled the entire time. So when asked about Josie, Fagan, here's his quote on what he said about it. It has a lot of stuff in it, plus some other stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, man. It is true, yeah. Actually.
It's profound.
All right, I found that at sea.
Yeah, you should have left
now
it there.
The deck is clear in that particular location.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go then.
Mm-hmm.
Short and sweet. So my son, 19-year-old that he is, sends me a song called Sailing. and it is a cover of the song that you're thinking of.
Okay.
By an artist by the name of Kane Parsons. Ever heard of Kane Parsons?
Nope.
Me neither.
Nope.
Kind of a techno-y thing.
Oh.
So this is sailing meets, well, it's sailing, but it's yacht rock meets Stranger Things. Take a listen. So there you go. That's what sailing would sound like if it was caught in an episode of Stranger Things.
I'd have to spend a little more time with it, but I don't mind what I'm hearing there. Maybe a little too much on the detuning. Sometimes, yep. But
yeah, hey, that's what makes it cool in Gen Z.
Yeah, that's what the kids are doing these days.
All right, what do you got?
Well, remember back when we did our episode called What Were We Thinking?
Yeah.
So that was an episode where we went back and recollected thoughts and things that we had said in earlier episodes that now we clearly regret saying, or we realize how wrong we were at the time, because this whole thing we've been learning as we go, right?
True.
We had a certain amount of knowledge going in, but we've certainly been learning as we go, and there were things that we thought about Yacht Rock that we wanted to take back. So that was a whole episode dedicated on that. I would like to encourage publicly here, maybe somebody will carry the mantle for us.
Mm-mm.
The OGs of Yacht Rock, JD and the boys.
Yes.
They need to go back and do a What Were We Thinking episode.
On the Page 99 song?
Well, maybe. Now that they've heard me say that.
They were bamboozled.
Yeah. No, but I would wonder if there were certain ones in there that they would like another take at.
That's a good idea, actually.
You know, all right. Easy content, even though it's, you know, self-deprecating.
Yep.
It's all right.
Yep. Well, who's going to deprecate you if you don't deprecate yourself?
Yeah, right.
You know? Okay. So is there a particular song you would nominate for a review?
Oh, yeah.
Does it start with Gigolo?
It does. Mm. And it ends with
Does it Get Lonely Too?
I was going to say Cool Cat.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All right.
You're up.
Am I? All right. Well, I will point out a couple things that we're nearing the end of season 4 here of Out of the Main, which after that comes season 5. I don't know if you realize that.
Hmm. Okay.
And
so we've been renewed for a new season?
We have been renewed. Okay. Yes, I just got the word. Okay. Same deal as last time.
Okay.
Though, in terms of salary.
That's too bad.
So, at the end of every season, we've been rerunning our Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be available. I'm going to have that drop this weekend, so people will have something to listen to. And next Wednesday will be too late if you're going to be in the Christmas spirit. So it's going to come out this weekend.
Yeah.
I listened to it. Back to What Were We Thinking?
What Were We Thinking? Oh, boy.
So it's primitive. So anyways, I wanted to let people know who have joined us just this season and weren't aware that that exists, that it's there and you can check it out. But with the asterisk that it is pretty primitive before we were, well, the expert that you are and what Yacht Rock is.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, people every year they do ask, are there any good Yacht Rock songs for Christmas?
Glad you asked.
You got some new ones?
I do.
Oh.
Number one is, in case you are a listener to this here podcast but don't follow social media like listener Mike, I would tune you to one song or two songs. The first is Silver Bells by Page 99 featuring Dane Donahue.
Strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crush, see the kids bunch, this is Santa's big scene. And above
ah, yes. What's the other one?
Well, let's go back to that one real
okay,
quick. That,
yes.
So you're working on an album with Dane Donahue.
Yeah.
Is that going to be released in 2024?
Indeed.
Awesome. Do we know when yet?
No, we're about, let's see, we've got seven of the 9 songs. I think it's going to be 9. We got 7 of them done. The only thing left on the final 2 is to finish up vocals. So we are fairly close. So it just becomes a time of figuring out strategy. And that's gotcha. Dane's department, not mine.
Okay. Well, he sounds great on that song. That's a great version of Silver Bells. So that's out on the Spotify's and the iTunes and all that stuff currently. So go
and
check
it. And it is Yachty.
It is Yachty. Add it to your playlist. And then the other one is a song that I helped rework, which is August Red's latest single.
Right.
And that is a cover of Sia's Santa's Coming for Us. 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 Santa's coming for us.
Super fun. Super well, bouncy, man.
It started out bouncy, so yeah. I had to like take some of the bounce out of it. Instead gave it some yacht rock halftime shuffle, which was thanks to you.
Yeah, the concept was what if Rosanna beat was infused into the original? What would that sound like? Mm-hmm.
And now we've got a male vocal about a 6 octaves lower than what she's saying.
Well, no, true.
Only one. But so try to take some of the bubblegum out, but man, I hope people like that one. Mm-hmm. Add that to your playlist as well.
Yep.
Last thing before I hand it back to you. I know that there are 2 August Red singles in the offing for 2024.
Would know. They're yours.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, too.
Yeah.
What is in store for Page 99 in 2024?
Ooh, well, new album. Mm-hmm. A little different than the last. I will say it's a little more AOR than Yachty. Still highly West Coast music influenced, but probably you're going to hear more Toto in this one than, say, Steely Dan or things that maybe people heard previously. Mm-hmm. Won't be a shocker. But then also, I can't really announce it yet. Uh-oh. At least what the... but I do have another collaborator. A collaborator that people that listen to this show will be familiar with. But I can't release any more information from that.
Now even I'm wondering.
Okay, can't say yet.
Peter Beckett. Say it's Peter Beckett.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, is it back to me?
Yeah, so just, you know, update your Christmas playlist, by the way, would you?
Okay. Since we're playing tunes, I'm going to play a few here. The this conversation goes back to when a few episodes ago in Lightning Rounds, you dropped in a couple of Kool & the Gang songs. And now, so there we had a discussion about Kool & the Gang well beyond the hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of talked you through here from maybe this era through like the late, from the late 70s, maybe through to the mid 80s was a good pocket of stuff. Really consistent sonically. Some of it was produced even by Yemir Diodato, the fusion guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all... How would I describe it? Well, the story goes back to a few years ago when my wife and I went to Jamaica and we're going to go and hang down at the beach and I'm getting my tunes ready and I'm trying to figure out, well, what do I want to listen to while I'm on the beach? And I just out of nowhere grabbed one of the Kool & the Gang albums on my stream and listened to that. And as I'm halfway into it, I'm like, I know, you know, you think reggae when you think Jamaica, but man, the vibe of this album is just absolutely perfectly fitting. Right? Because there is a, even though it's funk, it's very smoothed out. It's very non-aggressive. It's that, I remember when Questlove did this documentary thing about funk, he said there's really 2 different camps. There's the Parliament side, and then there's the Earth, Wind, and Fire side. The Parliament side is grimy, it's greasy, it's nasty. Earth, Wind, and Fire side is where all the refinement happened. So I'm thinking, you know, we talk about genres here or labels or distinctions or whatever, but I'm thinking there's really an area of what we call funk. Maybe you can call it R&B. I think there's a little bit of a difference there, but that is extremely smooth and easygoing. It's not yacht rock. It's not yacht soul, but it's just this funk influenced stuff that is still really easy on the ears, easy on the mind. It's not, you know, attacking your eardrums. It's not attacking your sensibilities. So I'm thinking stuff like Kool & the Gang is a perfect example. Luther Vandross maybe is another example. Some of the Jeffrey Osborne, Commodores. Ooh, yeah. Let me just play a couple things. These are tracks that are deeper cuts. So Kool and the Gang, 1983, title track from the In the Heart album. We're going to pop ahead to about minute 50. And there's just great groove, easy going, nice horns. Hit it.
When you say you love somebody,
so smooth, easy going, easy on the ears. Let me play you one more. This is Luther Vandross, 1986, Stop to Love. So it's not like I'm trying to start a new podcast about a new genre or anything and start rating tunes, but...
Oh, let me delete that note then.
It was just sort of a discovery that there's this kind of area in the funk realm.
Yep.
It's kind of easy going and smooth, and I made a playlist and, you know, cool funk.
All right.
With a K.
Hit me up with the link because A, I want to listen to it. B, I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
I've struggled with
What's that? C?
I don't even want to think about C. No. But I've struggled with the same conundrum, which is, where do I put this or what do I call it? I end up throwing some of these songs into my Yacht Rock playlist.
It probably doesn't belong there.
Question about your Jamaica trip.
Okay.
You're listening to Kool and the Gang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you listening to the Ooh La La La?
Oh, yeah. Come on, let's go reggae dancing.
Let's hear a little of that.
Infectious, absolutely.
Maybe that's where it started.
It could be.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the album I played first, though. I think it was this In the Heart album, as I recall. But still, the point remains valid.
Yes, it does. All right. I'm going to listen to that smoothness. All right. Well, that provides a good segue, then, to dip into the viewer mailbag.
Mail's in.
All right. Because, sort of relatedly, we've got some viewer mail here from listener Larry.
Okay.
And he just tipped me off. I don't even have the whole note, but he wanted us to listen to and opine on a song by Alan Gorey.
Okay.
Who is of the Average White Band.
Yeah.
Solo project, 1985, so just outside the harbor here.
Mm-hmm.
A song called Sleepless Nights. Let's listen to a little of this.
Sleepless Nights.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't be out of place on my cool funk list or even a Quiet Storm
kind of place. It's kind of not entirely out of place in a Yacht Rock playlist, too.
No, I know other it's than not. Some of the sounds are definitely 1985. DX7, fairly heavy.
Instead of the Rhodes.
Big reverb.
Yep.
I wouldn't call it yachty, but it's clear the yachty sensibilities are there. And now they're pursuing the sounds and the sonic abilities of the new instruments of 1985.
Yeah, there's even a little lead horn part that you say is a DX7.
Sounds like a DX7 horn sound with that wind instrument, this thing you stuck in your mouth and blew through.
It's smooth as silk, though.
There's
no arguing there. Well, it's got its DNA in Yacht Rock.
No question. Yeah.
Well, let me remove the question because some deets on this one.
Okay.
Listener Yorn will like this. Produced by Jay Gruska.
Oh, wow.
Of
Maxis,
yes. Speaking of Maxis, the guitar is Michael Landau.
Ooh, can't go wrong there.
Additional synths by Michael Boddicker.
Uh-huh.
Nathan East is on bass.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty yachty. And get this, it's got to be the same cat, unless you're going to correct me here. Background vocals by Joseph Williams.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Is that the Joseph Williams?
I don't know of another one that sang from the air that I'd be familiar with. I mean, it's a fairly ordinary name, but I bet you it's him.
Yeah. Also, Michelle Gruska. Now, who in their right mind would have their wife or daughter sing backups on their Yacht Rock music.
Must That's just all ridiculous. Be crazed yeah. up in here.
All right. Well, thank you to listener Larry, and you're welcome to listener Yorn for that little gem.
Okay, so I said I have one more left. Mm-hmm. And speaking of just opining on ideas, this was something I heard this song, guitar solo, which I will play in a second once I set the stage for it. And it got me thinking about something I'm going to be paying attention to going forward. Okay. I don't have a bunch of examples of this. This is just kind of a thought that came to me. So I was listening to Mark Jordan and the Hole in the Wall album.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of heavy guitar solos on that. Some of it is from Luke and some of it's from Graydon.
Mm-hmm.
It's Graydon on this particular tune. I'm going to play a Hold On. We're going to listen to the guitar solo. And what I want to pay attention to is the way the guitar solo ends. Both the note choice and sort of the timing of it. Let's listen to that and then we'll come back and I'll give you my thoughts on the backside. So at this point, what I'm kind of paying attention to is Jay has become a well-established producer,
mm-hmm.
but he's also playing the lead guitar on this. So a producer is going to have what in mind as they're working up a song? They're thinking of the entire picture, and most notably, how does it service the vocal?
Mm-hmm.
So you hear this guitar solo get out of the way of the vocal, right, timing-wise. It's done before the vocal comes in, and it lands on a note that establishes this new key that they're in, as well as doesn't conflict at all with the lead vocal. That's the producer mind and the math and arranging you have to do. It's thought out in advance. It's planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when guitar players do these solos, whether they're doing a big run or something, they always have that target note where they're going to end in mind. And that target note serves some sort of purpose for how the whole solo is supposed to express itself, whether it's supposed to resolve or whatever, but mm-hmm. the target note. Now, let's contrast that with Lukather. And we talk about Lukather, right? Equally good player, but Lukather's approach is entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Because outside of Toto, where he knows everything about the song, when he's brought in as a session guy, often he didn't even want to hear the song. Right?
That's right.
Or
give me a key and 4-bar run up.
Yeah. Or he's just, you know, just roll it and let me play. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of times, you know, that's what you want from him because he, even to his own admission, is at his best in his, you know, first take zeros, his 1-2, whatever, before he starts thinking about it. So he's not going to necessarily get out of the way of the vocal. He's not necessarily going to know how it ends. A lot of times he's keeping on wailing and they just got to duck the fader, you know? So it's because they have two completely different approaches. One is just lead guitar guy. I don't want to know too much. I just want to play what I feel
mm-hmm.
versus producer guy who sort of has every single nuance of the song figured out in his head.
Yeah.
Right. So going forward, I just kind of want to pay attention to the comparison of Jay Graydon post becoming a producer and Lukather session guy, you know.
Interesting. That's a good little
homework.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear the end of the Jay Graydon one again, because that last note is too good.
Yep. Yeah, not what you're expecting.
Not at all. Okay, interesting thought experiment there.
Yeah.
Before we go into the lightning round, though, I have to flush the bilge. All right, this thing has been bothering me for years, and I got to take this opportunity.
The bilge?
Yes, this particular piece of bilge.
Oh.
So I want to offer a contrasting approach to what the heck are you doing at the end of the solo? This has always bothered me. We're going to go to Poison, Something to Believe In, and look at how this exit of this guitar solo. Now, this is after CC has left the band, so this is new guy. And like, does he not know when the solo section ends? Listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like he squanks that last note. Like it makes you wonder how much they had to struggle to get that solo. And you're like, nah, never mind. It's good enough. We're not taking it again.
I was going to say, couldn't they let him have a second take?
Well, that may have been take 200.
Yeah. The ending is building to something, this wide open space, and he's still... And then,
I'm sorry. I'm sure that guy listens to the podcast ever since we started talking about Sebastian Bach. All right, well, now that's enough of that. Now that that bilge has been flushed, we can enter the lightning round.
All right, so before we actually start the lightning round, I got a little bit of leftover lightning, which is a couple of things that were in my list, and these tie back to previous episodes, and from the disco episode we did with Alex G. So I went searching and seeing what else I could find. Now, I found this tune from Denise Williams. Has lots of yachty bounce, but it's also mixed with a lot of disco sensibility. And as I look deeper, it's produced by Foster and Ray Parker Jr. together and has just about every yacht name you can think of on the LP. So here's Denise Williams' I Found Love. All right, so that's one. And then from the heydays, back when we were Jerry Hay, doing some beast mode searching, Paulina Da Costa from the Sunrise album. Again, an album full of every yacht rock personnel you can think of. This is called Walkman. So that's got some almost beast mode in there.
Yeah. God, I love that Paulina Da Costa record.
Yeah, both
There's
of them.
There's a couple of them. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so now we can get on with the regular part of the lightning round. So you want to start since I've already yapped on a while here?
Let me go here. Yeah. Found at sea. I am going to find at sea a little trop rock for you. But allow me to dip into the viewer mailbag to do so.
Mail's in.
All right, this is listener Tom in State College, Pennsylvania. He's written to us a number of times. In fact, he just wrote to me recently, but this is from last year. That's how long I've been holding on to this one.
Wow.
Because it starts, on these cold winter days, I keep thinking of warm places and warm songs.
Ooh.
And I'm wondering if Chris Rea, you know, Fool If You Think It's Over, if Chris Rea's On the Beach is yachty by your standards. Well, let's take a listen.
Between the eyes of love, I call your name. Behind those guarded walls, I used to go. Upon a summer wind, there's a certain melody, takes me back.
So that's from 1988, and it sounds like it to me. So I'm going to say it's not very yachty.
But no, I'm not even entirely sure. It's trop rocky. It's so like Latin music influenced, samba or bossa influenced.
Yep. But it does bring me to the beach. It does warm my cockles. For that reason, I give it 8 out of 10 somethings. I don't know what.
Okay.
I love it. I love Chris Rea's, you know.
Yeah.
I do like that song, and... I don't know what playlist I'm going to sneak that onto. Maybe your funk playlist. Hope you didn't.
It's not a collaborative list.
Ah, dang it.
Ah. So you said he's from where? State College?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's what I have that was found at sea. State Cows. Their new cover of Ticket to Ride.
Actually, a very well done version of that.
Isn't
song.
That something?
I've never done that with trepidation.
I mean, I've done my fair share of covers. I wouldn't have dreamed that one up, man.
And it works though.
It does.
Well done. Yeah. Well done, boys. All right.
Buried Treasure.
Go for it.
To me, sticking with the theme of covers, this is a 2023 single from M. Griner.
Ooh, I know her.
Hint, hint. What You Won't Do for Love from Bobby Caldwell.
I guess you wonder where I feel. I search to find a love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go.
I tell you, speaking of found, I think she's been found, Issy.
Yeah.
She's completely yachty now in almost every way. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Very good. Well, I am going to piggyback off your funk, that little sort of quasi-category you couldn't figure out what to call it.
Cool funk with a K. I
know you figured out what to call it, but you couldn't figure out how to describe it. Whatever.
Yeah.
This is Commodores from 1981. Yep. My Buried Treasure is a song I forgot about off the same album with Lady You Bring Me Up, right? Mm-hmm. In the Pocket. And this is Oh No.
And when he comes, I'll let you go. I'll just pretend as you walk out the door. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that song when it came out, man.
It's one that, I look at the title and I still can't sing it in my head, but then it, yeah. Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
It's so simple in its core. I love it. It's so good.
Very good. All right.
It's just one of those songs that never has to try too hard.
No, it's good. Just perfect. Yep. All right. You have an off the map.
I do.
Okay.
And again, this, like you said, this is completely off the map, but because it is John Denver. But
you're on the wrong podcast. Next.
No. Just wait, man. 1982. So this is the same year that he put out his Christmas album, the Rocky Mountain Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
But check out, there's Jim Horn on this on sax.
Ooh.
But check out the recording personnel on this. I mean, because this album sounds sonically unbelievable. And that's what caught my attention. I had some semi beat up John Denver records that I still had to go through, hadn't listened to.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten them in a collection that I bought. And so I just put this on a whim. And on my system, I'm just blown away at how good this record sounds. You know, you don't associate John Denver with audiophile recording, right?
No, not necessarily.
But you do when he's brought in Elliot Shiner.
Oh, my.
Roger Nichols.
Hello.
And mastered by Greg Kalby. Man, you're talking three super studs there.
Got to be pristine.
It's the album is called Seasons of the Heart. I don't necessarily have a song picked here, but
Give us anything? Yeah.
All right.
Give us one. Give us a taste.
All right. How about a little bit of this one? Opposite Tables.
My brother's at opposite tables, like fire and water.
How clean and beautiful is that?
The drums sound great.
Yeah, that's usually what sets the entire stage.
I noticed that when we were talking about that funk stuff. I'm like, man, the drum sounds are just so good.
Yeah.
You don't get that anymore. Anyways, all right. Well, for my off the map, I have a question for you. A topic I want to delve a little bit deeper. So at the outset, you said Page 99 was more AOR than it was yacht rock.
Yes.
I want to pick your brain. Well, first of all, if you're willing to share why you decided to go that way, and then what is the difference in your mind? And it just happens to coincide with my listening habits late this year. I've sort of like moved from 1982 to 84, now to 85 to 87 for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And that's the way music went back in the day. And so my ear seems to evolve that way. So we have not talked about this.
None at all.
So
the reason, well, first of all, the sound, the difference is that it's going to be a lot less jazzy chords and groove oriented.
Okay.
Probably more reliance on guitars and things. It's not like it's a hard rock album. It's still sophisticated in terms of the chord structures and all that, but it's not going to be so, quote, jazzy.
Okay.
Right? Less, as I say, groove oriented when you think of a song like Sunrise on the Water that starts with the piano and halftime shuffly. We're not doing that kind of stuff. So this would be more, I guess, just outside of the Yacht Rock area, so it's still West Coasty. Like, maybe the closest comparison might be Mark Jordan's Hole in the Wall album, which still has some indications of Yacht Rock, but it's, you know, a little more, I don't know. It's a difficult question to always answer.
Which is why I asked it, because it's a lot of times that type of music sounds like Kissing Cousins to Yacht Rock, even though you can say, you look at it, and I could intellectually say there's not a ton of overlap in terms of, like you just
said. So maybe when I say groove, there's less reliance on something that would be considered a bounce, number one. Mm-hmm. But also, to your question about 85 to 87, I enjoy playing and putting myself in a specific time frame as a producer and saying, like, for the first album, I said, I want to do 1978. For the second album, I kind of said, I want to do 1980. And with that, it's what synthesizers I'm using, what things came out. And so now with this one, you heard maybe a little more mid-80s. It's because I am allowing some DX7 and some other FM belly, chimey sort of synthesizers to get involved that did not exist in the earlier time. So part of that reasoning was I just wanted to expand the palette because I felt I'd kind of done that. I always start a new album with the idea of what is the sonic picture going to be.
Okay.
I'm not just randomly putting songs together. I'm thinking here is going to be the overall sonic structure that I'm going to work within. So that ties into my final question of the day. You know how back in the day, all these series, they love to end with a cliffhanger, right? And the series with a cliffhanger or the season so that you wanted to come back and see how it paid off next season. So I have a...
Are you going to shoot me or somebody here is going to shoot me?
And then wake up in the shower or something like that.
Jeez.
The cliffhanger question is this. So we've covered Yacht Rock for 4 years now.
Truth. Well, and sort of.
But what we've talked about in a myriad of different ways is the pristine recording techniques, the expert musicianship, the precision to which it's all put together, which again is about performance and the sonics, but that they achieved such a high bar of songwriting, performance, arrangement,
production,
intelligence, production, that, we think has been unmatched. We don't think it's been, and we talk about Yacht Rock goes roughly from 1976 to 84. So my question is, if we say, okay, let's say 75 to 85, just sort of to expand it out to a more traditional 10-year thought. Does all of those things that we say about Yacht Rock in achieving this high level, which we say has never been, we don't think has been reached since, is that true of genres outside of Yacht Rock all across the board? And is it more about the years of 75 to 85 than it is just about the Yacht Rock center?
All right. Well, you've got me wanting to come back for more. So until then, I guess we will remind people to listen to our holiday episode, Christmas-inspired songs that do wade into the harbor in our yachty. Mm-hmm. So we wish you all a fond Adesta Fidelis or Ahoy Polloi.